Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you, Lord, to get your message across to the people today, what it is that you desire, and to prepare for these things that are coming. And we give thanks unto you, Lord, for doing that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, saints, there's some amazing things going on in the country, as you know. And I believe we're probably looking forward to some dirty tricks, being prepared to sway the population against this revival in politics. And maybe also in the revival in Christianity. And, of course, it's by the factious deep state. And, you know, the last time it was only God who saved us. I mean, they had control over the voting booths. The voting machines belonged to Soros. I saw the proof that they planned to do this, and when the vote started, of course, it was totally lopsided towards Hillary. People saw it, they cried out to God, and it suddenly switched, exactly the opposite. And I don't doubt that they may try that this time, but you know what? We don't need to wait till the last minute to pray for these things or the dirty tricks they're going to try to use to sway the population in destroying the economy and other things. We don't need to wait for that. We need to start praying now. The 2018 elections will mostly be held on Tuesday, November the 6th. And these midterm elections are going to take place in the middle of President Trump's term. All 435 seats in the United States House of Representatives and 35 of the 100 seats in the United States Senate will be contested. And 39 state and territorial governorships and numerous other state and local elections will also be contested. And so they're going to try to sway the population. There's many people saying that they'll take the House. We're not to believe that. There's a few less people saying they may take the Senate. We're not to believe that. We've been called by the Lord to be salt, basically. And it's the Lord who takes care of these elections, as we saw. You really can't elect anybody. They've put a bunch of criminals in there by their dirty dealings. We're able to stand against this. Okay. It's very interesting too that they've got the media out there. This is the main thing, is they've got the mainstream media and criminal organizations like Facebook and Google and Twitter and all these that are hiding, you know, the real truth the best they can. And we need to pray against that. So I'm just asking you to do what the Scripture teaches us to do. Stand in. Like the bride stood in the Haman situation, right? Stand in. Pray. Believe God. You know, a few days ago, I'll just let you in on this so you can join us. It was on the 29th when, in our morning prayer meeting, four of our members got words from the Lord to fast and pray. And I was told to fast in the morning before the meeting. I didn't say anything, but then other people spoke up in the meeting and got the same thing. And I started that morning. That was on the 29th. Then Eve received from the Lord to fast that morning before the meeting too. She also asked what kind of fast and got Daniel's three friends in their fast of the pulse and the water, which is vegetables and water. And Daniel 1 and 12 says, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink." That's what Eve asked, got when she asked, what kind of fast? That's what she put her finger down on. "Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the youths that eat of the king's dainties, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he hearkened unto them in this matter and proved them 10 days. I believe we're going to be proved for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer, so there was a benefit to the fast, right? And they were fatter in flesh than all the youths that did eat the king's dainties. So the steward took away their dainties and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. Now, as for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Hey, this could have been a side benefit of this fast, you know, because it goes on to say, "And at the end of the days which the king had appointed for bringing them in, the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding concerning which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the enchanters that were in his realm." So there definitely was a benefit to the fast. And then also Angelica got Matthew 6 and 16 that morning. "Moreover, when you fast," not if you fast, "when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may be seen of men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward." So you fast in secret to the best of your ability, right? And then Debbie got a wonderful prophecy from the Lord about the Lord asking for humility among his people and to resist our natural inclinations and asking them to humble themselves in total surrender to God, and that he would raise up the humble. And then the word that came to her from the Lord was, "Hear me with fasting, weeping and mourning." And she said, after a minute later, I received the first part and was reflecting on it, and I heard the Lord say again, "Hear me with fasting, weeping and mourning." It was very strong, just like before, and when he spoke it. But this time he added, "Hear me, hear me." There was such a strong feeling of urgency of something impending that it caused me to weep before him, just like last time when he spoke this same thing. And I asked, you know, the next day, should I start the Daniel fast of vegetables and water? And I got a yes. And I believe it was for the 10 days. So any of you out there that would, please join us. Considering all that I've told you, I suggest we fast to cry to the Father for holiness and humility and wisdom and understanding and the end of the faction in the government and in the church, which is against the reformer leadership in both counts, and also for Psalm 91 Passover of things that are going to fall, and whatever Father leads you to, right? So that's my suggestion, and I'll go from there to what we can do about this. The cry for fasting and weeping is clearly in the book of Esther. Let's go there. Now, I'll just lay this out in a fashion so we can get it into this hour. You remember how in Esther 3 and 1, it says, after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Well, why did God do this? I mean, this is a parable, and Ahasuerus was the king of kings. Why did he promote a Haman? You remember in our last broadcast, I shared with you a dream in which the faction was put together into one person that was called, and the Lord named him thine adversary. Well, remember what Esther said about Haman, an adversary. And who is the adversary? Satan. Satan in who? Satan in a body of people that wants to destroy the man-child, the bride, and the people of God. And that's the whole story that's here. So why did he promote this? To bring about repentance. Did it work? Yes, it did. It worked. I mean, many people repented the last time and cried out to God, and they saw a miracle of the person that was supposed to go in. They were very sure Hillary was going to go in because they were cheating. I'm just telling you, they were very sure. But God stopped it. It failed. Why? Well, just God. That's the only one you can consider here. Anyway, so Haman promoted, said unto the king in verse 8, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of the kingdom, and their laws are different from those of every people. And that's true. Our laws are different because the Jews represent the New Testament church too. Neither keep they the king's laws. And yes, that's true. I mean, that's true. The accuser is there. He is accusing them before the king. The king knows that they're disobedient and not keeping the laws. I mean, our King of Kings, right? Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. Yeah. And if it please, let the king let it be written that they be destroyed. Well, okay. So he set about to destroy them. And the king gave him authority to do that. And just as he gave the beast authority to crucify the children of God throughout history when they were not obeying his laws, you know, throughout history, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, and now the end time worldwide beast, right? So, what can God do about this? Well, we know about the Passover, and we know about Psalm 91. There's lots he can do. So the king agreed with Haman and gave him authority, called in the scribes in verse 12, and they wrote the decree and sent the decree out. And verse 13, the letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces. Well, think about that. That's all over the earth now. To destroy, to slay, to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, to take the spoil of them for a prey. So, what happened? Well, chapter 4 and verse 3 says, in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing. There it is again, for goodness sake. Here we are in this same situation, basically, because who is it that's been marching throughout the world to kill Christians? Who is it that created ISIS in the first place? Well, we have absolute insider information here. That Obama and Hillary created ISIS for the purpose of destroying Christianity in the right wing. Doing a pretty good job. They marched throughout the Middle East and killed a lot of Christians and destroyed all their antiquities, like they were focused on that. And, of course, they were supplied materials and guns and everything else by, yes, right, this administration. And so, and then they want to do the same thing in America. They want this invasion in America and to do the exact same thing that they're doing in Europe, and they're killing a lot of people in Europe, and their demon-possessed left-wing governments are letting them do it and looking the other way. So you think they can't do it? You'd have never thought that could happen, would you? Okay, so you think they can't do it? It's time for what's being said here. Mourning among the Jews or the Christians, fasting and weeping and wailing, calling out to God, fasting and praying. And of course, Mordecai, whom Haman really wanted to kill more than anybody, but he decided not to just kill Mordecai, but all the people of God, right? Which would have included also the bride. Okay, so he told in verse 7, chapter 4, and verse 7, he told him all that he had happened, that had happened unto him, and the exact sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And also he gave him the copy. This is a messenger to go to the queen, right? The copy of the witness, the writing of the decree that was given out in Shushan to destroy them, and to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. Well, okay, this is our decree here. This is our decree to stop the decree. This is our word from God right here. I received this text yesterday, and I wasn't connecting it initially with the situation of the prayer and fasting, but I just flipped the Bible open and I looked down. I'm looking down right in the middle of this. Okay? Go to the king, make supplication unto him to make requests before him for her people. And, of course, she was a little reticent to do that, but she had to be convinced that she wouldn't make it either if this intercession didn't happen. And so, saints, I'm telling you, it's time to do this. We've only got a few days left before this midterm election, and there's a lot of dirty tricks that need to fail. There's a lot of media that needs to fail. We need to make petition to the king and make decrees ourselves. After all, we've been given authority, haven't we? Yes, I remember it was a while back. I was asking the Lord. The Lord said to me, send the angels. Because he'd told me that before. So I said to the Lord, what to send the angels to do, Lord? Flipped my Bible up and stuck my finger down on the word David. I'll read to you where I started reading and where I finished reading. David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. That's right. David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. Now tell me that God can't talk to you exactly and say exactly what he wants to say. In John 15 and 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. So, saints, send the angels. Send them to take out the CIA, Google, Facebook, Twitter, intelligence against the U.S. and Trump administration. Take out the eyes and the ears and the speech and everything in their hard drives. Send them to bring all hidden things to light. Thank you, Father. Send out the angels. Very neat. Yes, that's what we need. So, to make a long story short, I will continue. So he reported this. This people made the decree, sent it forth, and King of Kings said, yep, go for it. Gave him authority to go. But then, in Esther 4, And verse 15, Esther bade them return answer unto Mordecai, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast in like manner. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So, the Bible says down in chapter 5 and verse 2, and it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. Now I want to tell you, the bride has the favor of the king. He will listen to her petition. And there was crying, of course, throughout all Jewry, as we saw, when they found out what was coming up against them. Well, don't think it's over, saints. This midterm election is able to stop this revival of politics in the United States. It's able to stop it. But if you read the story, you can see that the petitions, the petition of the bride, brought about the results of turning this thing around. I believe it did last time too. Okay, verse 2, and it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? And it shall be given thee, even unto the half of the kingdom. Now, notice, folks, we are joint, at least some people are, among the people of God, are joint heirs with Christ. Notice that. So what's your request? It shall be given thee, even unto the half of the kingdom. So nice. You know, she dilly-dallied around for another day, I think, and finally got around to business. But during that time, I would say 5 and 14, then said Zeresh, his wife, unto all his friends and unto him, let the gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning speak thou unto the king, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman. Sounded like a good deal, because he really had a great hatred for the man-child, Mordecai. And he caused the gallows to be made. And he planned to hang Mordecai on this gallows on Nisan 17. But the problem was that the king couldn't sleep that night. Certainly he was troubled. And the book of records of the Chronicles was brought before him. And he found out there that Mordecai had stood up for him before the people to protect the king and his interests. And so then he realized that, asked his servants, had anything been done for Mordecai? And the answer was no. And so Haman came in to ask at that particular time, very providential, wouldn't you say, to hang Mordecai. But he didn't get it out of his mouth before the king, asked his opinion about what should be done to the one that he wanted to honor. And, of course, Mordecai, being the big head that he was, thought that the king wanted to honor him. So he put out this glorious thing. And Haman said unto the king, verse 7, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and on the head of which a crown royal is set, and let the apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man therewith whom the king delighteth to honor, and cause him to ride on horseback through the streets of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Well, I got to tell you, the faction believes that they are these people in the government and in the church. They do believe that they have the favor of God. But you see, that is stupidity. It is what we call the stupid demons to the max. And God is going to honor those that keep his word, those that have a conscience, those that are humble, those that are beautiful, like the bride, you know, beautiful in their apparel. And, you know, even though the man-child wanted to hang him on that day, it was totally turned around. And he had made the gallows, and it was totally turned around. But, you know, the Lord has promised in so many ways, in so many places, that those that lay a snare will fall into it themselves. And the royal apparel, instead of dishonoring Mordecai, his persecution against Mordecai dressed him up in the apparel of the king. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the lust to fulfill the lust thereof, right? Put on the works of Jesus, and the works of the bride in Revelation 19, the royal apparel that she had on. The brilliant, bright apparel that she had on was the righteous acts of the saints. And so, this is how the Lord is fulfilling and repeating history, right? So, going on to chapter 7. And the king said again unto Esther, verse 2, on the second day at the banquet of wine, what's thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even unto the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. Of course, the king said he was going to do it. Whatever it was, he was going to do it. And of course, he's told us the same thing. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received it, and you shall have it, right? If any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father, right? What you bind on earth is bound in heaven, right? Okay, he's already told us this. I'll answer your request. But, you know, a lot of Christians are just too lazy to spend the time at things that really count about their future. This is the thing that really counts about our future here, you see. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, and to be slain, and to perish. And you think that might be a stretch? No, no. That's what the invasion is all about. This is why people are trying to stop this invasion, and others are trying to help this invasion. You know, it's an astounding thing what's going on. You know, McConnell and Ryan, by the way, are refusing to bring up for a vote the money that is to be used to build the wall to stop this invasion. And among other things, these two need to be removed. Okay, there's a prayer for you. Because they're on the other side. They have been. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I would held my peace. Although the adversary, there she is again, could not have compensated the king for his damage. Then spake the king Ahasuerus and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he, that does presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, an adversary. There it is. The last one I shared with you, the Lord called the faction thine adversary. Now, you can see the faction here against the government and against the church in this context. And Esther said, an adversary and an enemy, even this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. But what he didn't know is there was a big angel there getting ready to trip him. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the couch whereon Esther was. Then said the king, "Will he even force the queen before me in the house?" See, I told you. That angel tripped him. Big mistake. As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Then said Harbona, one of the chamberlain that were before the king, "Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman hath made for Mordecai, who spake good for the king, and standeth in the house of Haman." And the king said, "Hang him thereon." Okay, you know what? He was hung on Nisan 17 the same day he planned to hang Mordecai. "Hang him thereon." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Well, now, this brought us to a point where two people were saved at this point. Mordecai and the bride. They were saved. The people had not yet been saved. Their salvation was to come later. But at this particular point, and on this day, Nisan 17, chapter 8 says, "On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen." Okay, so now what you going to do with them, Queen Esther? We already received many verses in the morning how that the people of God took down Edom under the direction of David, who is another Mordecai, right? And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. This was all on that same day. Notice it says, on that day, Nisan 17. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. There it is. The man-child to the throne, right? Caught up to the throne, given the authority. And then, of course, Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Amen. So, that, I believe, is the point where the tribulation starts. Because the first rider in the first seal, the Lord has told me, is the man-child. That is Jesus in the man-child body. The authority of the king coming to do his work. You know, just as Jesus himself came in a body of the son of David, once again, God has got a spiritual corporate body of David's that he's coming in the body of, because now he's going to the world church, not just the little Middle East Old Testament church of the Jews. Okay, so that's the point where the tribulation starts, and the people of God are not yet saved from the beast's decree. Okay, so, but the authority has now been given into the hands of Mordecai and Esther. And he has the ring that he can exercise the king's authority. And he received authority from the King of Kings in verse 8. "Write ye also to the Jews as it pleaseth you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse." True. So, but he had given out a decree that couldn't be reversed by man. He just gave them the authority to write another decree to tell the people of God to stand for their lives. Now, you know, let me say this. At this particular point, we're coming to the beginning of a Red Sea, I believe. And Haman and his sons and the people are going to be destroyed. Okay. And I say that, you know, with all hope that the elect among them will be repented and returned, and they will only be destroyed in the fact that their spirits have been separated from their body. And I'm talking about those demon spirits. So in effect, the wicked are being destroyed. Okay, so I'm not leaving that out. I'm praying constantly for the salvation of people that I know who were taken captive, and they don't even know they're captive. They don't believe they're captive, and so on. Like Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I'm a witness to this. They don't know what they're doing. So it's written in the king's name. Mordecai is acting in the name of the king of kings. And the king's ring is on Mordecai. And you know the rest of the story. It's very interesting how that things get totally turned around. And the enemy is recognized as the enemy now. And on the 14th day of the month, things were turned around. That was the 11th month from the decree. Things were turned around. And so let me just say, it isn't the vote. It's the decree from the king. You understand what I'm saying? It isn't the vote. I'm saying that whatever method God uses is fine, but we go to the king to change things. In Romans 13, he says, let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. There is no power but of God, whether it be Haman or whether it be Mordecai. There is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God, all of them, ordained of God. So don't think that you can change things in the flesh. But you can go to God, who has absolute and perfect dominion over everything. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Daniel in chapter 4 and verse 32 said, and thou shalt be driven from men. It said of him, thou shalt be driven from men. Let me see. And that was, of course, the beast who was ruling, was driven from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. So he took him down with total demon possession. He took him down. And in verse 35 says, well, I'm going to go to the last part of verse 32. It says, and the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Whomsoever he will. And verse 35 says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? So the Lord has absolute dominion. And so we must go to him. Our dominion is rooted in what he permits. But we do have authority from him. For instance, in Psalm 149, I'm going to read 5 through 9 here. Let the saints exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. This is important. Praise the God. Because Praise is the word halal, and it means to brag on, to boast in. And so what are we bragging on? We're bragging on what God is going to do, because we've asked him to do it, and we know he's going to do it, because you have to believe you have received, right? So we can praise God for the end. Seeing the end from the beginning, we can praise God. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the nations. That's the beast, body of the beast. And punishment upon the peoples. That's the body of the beast. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Okay, so we got this authority here from the king. Now, who's going to exercise it? You know, because having the authority, we've had that from the beginning, you know. But who's going to exercise it? Well, I can tell you the first people to exercise is going to be the man-child. He's been given the ring. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. Is the judgment written? Yeah, we just read it. To exercise or execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Awesome. And you know what else? If you believe it, this is true. Isaiah 54. I'm going to read 15. Well, I'm going to back up to 14. I like it. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Well, without righteousness, you don't have confidence before God, right? Thou shalt be far from oppression. Oh, praise be to God. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Who's a professional terrorist? Well, you know, many people have thought it's just the Muslims, but actually they're being used by the shadow government and the deep state. Don't think we're not going to see more terrorism out there in order to sway people. It's all going to be blamed on Trump. You know that, right? Behold, they may gather together. Okay, so this can happen. They may gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall because of thee. Okay, well, are they gathered together? Yes, and are they going to try to make a big commotion, you know, to make them sound bigger than they are? Yes, because it is a minority, folks, that's doing all the screaming. But they're getting the attention of the media, right? The corrupt media. They're getting the attention. They claim that these are the majority, but they're not. And they're silent minority you need to pray for. That they will stand up. Okay? They'll gather together against thee, and they shall fall because of thee. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the fire of coals. You know what? He made Haman. He made the enemy. They're the ones that are starting the fires and bringing forth a weapon for his work. Notice, Haman wanted to hang Mordecai, but he glorified him. he made an enemy that could not be beaten. And bringeth forth a weapon for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. That's Haman. He's taking authority for anybody that comes into a place of dominion over God's people, just like Romans 13 and 1 says. He takes authority. Since he has control over them, then he has the right to say, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Can you do that? Can you condemn the tongues that rise up against you? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and their righteousness, which is of me, saith the Lord. Okay. Isn't God awesome? So, take authority. When you speak things, the angels are standing. waiting to go and fulfill what you say. That's their job. They're ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. They're waiting for you to speak it and believe it out of your mouth, to bring down this false prophet media, to bring down this shadow government and all their money that they're using against you, to bring down this overthrow which they're attempting to do of Trump's policies and himself, to bring it down. You can go before the king. You have authority from the king. You can speak it. The angels will bring it to pass. Send forth the angels. Speak the word of faith. Send them forth. They will do it. They will do the work. You know, there's a lot of people that are caught up into, you know, muscle power, manpower, you know, to try to get their way. And they're distracted totally from the power that we have, the main power that we have. They're totally distracted. The power we have is from the King of Kings. The power we have is against all of our enemies. And he has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. That's part of redemption. I keep saying it because I think it takes a while for people to catch on that since you have this redemption from God, this authority from God, you can speak it. You have authority to do it. You who are the bride out there, the Lord will hear you. If you are holy and righteous before God, he will hear you. He has favor for you, just as we just got through reading. We've been redeemed. And it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he hath visited and wrought redemption for his people." Now, what does this mean? What redemption for his people? What is he meaning in the context? "And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." That's the man-child. That's Mordecai. A horn is a weapon, but it's also an authority, right? "And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old, salvation from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us." From all that hate us, salvation. We've been redeemed. Part of redemption. You know, Jesus became accursed for us so we could have Abraham's blessings, as Galatians says. And so, what is the problem here? You know, this salvation has everything to do with the redemption. You were bought. You were paid for. Your sins were paid for. You know, and so the curse was put upon Jesus. Therefore, the enemies who institute and bring forth the curse don't have any power. Walk by faith, speak it. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to show mercy towards our fathers, to remember his holy covenant. So he's remembering his covenant by protecting us from our enemies. "The oath which he sware unto Abraham our father, to grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, should serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness." And he goes on down to verse 78, "whereby the day spring from on high shall visit us to shine upon them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace." And the child grew, there he was, the man child, and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel, right? Well, that was actually John the Baptist, but the day spring from on high who visited us was the man-child. Oh, praise God. The Lord is all laid it out for us, you see. We're just need to be obedient, to put our trust in him. Amen. Well, Father, we ask, Lord, that you energize your people out there to pray. Let them lay aside the distractions, Lord. Fast and pray and call upon your name for the turnaround of this I believe, last major attempt to be able to overthrow this. A Red Sea experience, Lord, is coming. So, Father, we thank you for bringing that to pass, for this visitation of the Lord, this authority from the King of Kings, like the ring upon Mordecai, this authority to turn things around. Lord, there are many people that are listening today that understand this, but there's a lot more people out there that don't understand this. And yes, they see that the evil things that are happening in the world, and they may, like the Jews, be crying out to you to save them from death at the hands of these people who are determined to wipe out Christianity in America like they did in the Middle East, and to wipe it out in Europe like they did in the Middle East. And Lord, we just ask that you turn this whole thing around. We were told, Lord, that Trump was giving out time. He was giving out clocks and things. Sister Sue Gilbert had that revelation from God. He was handing out clocks to people. He's giving out time. This time is for the church to be trained up like it was in Jesus' 3.5 years there, and then the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, to be trained up to know who they are and what they can do before the beast is released upon the people of God in the middle of the tribulation to now take out the people of God. We see two stages of that in Esther. We saw the stage where the man, child, and the bride were saved, and then the decree went forth for the people to stand for their lives. They didn't know they could do that. They had to get that revelation. They got it from the man, child. Stand for your lives. And when they stood for their lives, guess what? They were spared. So, Father, we thank you that the revelation will get out to the people. And that right now, the people who have this revelation, before the tribulation starts, and even before the fullness of the Red Sea begins, that they would go forth and speak the word, that they would call upon your name and cry out to you to change this situation. And we thank you for doing it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, that the word is going to be fulfilled, but you have a means to an end, and that means is just what we see in the book of Esther. People went to you to cry out to you to change things. Their trust was not in their vote. Their trust was in you to change things. Father, we just thank you for doing it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Good night, saints. God bless you and keep you.